It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
What is happening, everyone? A good Monday going out to each and every one of you. It is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. We thank you for spending some time with us today talking daily fantasy sports. That's what we like to do here on the podcast. And lots of stuff this busy Monday. 15 games going on in Major League Baseball. Full slate. Lots of like two-game series, whatever, for whatever reason, seem to be starting up today. So we'll go give you some analysis on some guys to consider for your fantasy teams here in just a little bit in Major League Baseball. Also, if you're an NBA fan, most of the sites out there are moving towards the two-day NBA leagues. You got them on Draft Street, you got them on Fantasy Feud. Also notice that FanDuel has started their two-day NBA leagues, which to me is pretty much a must if you want to keep having the NBA games out there, simply because two games a night, yeah, under, you know, a legal side of things for to be able to run the games, you could do it. But from a player's perspective, just way too much overlap and just not quite as enjoyable of an experience than you get with the two-day games, which basically gives you four games instead of two. So twice the player pool, less overlap, and yeah, you might have to wait an extra day to get paid your money, but overall I think it's a little bit better experience. So props to FanDuel for making that change. I do want to kind of start off the show obviously talking about news in the industry. It was a big weekend as usual. Friday nights are always big, so I'll give you a quick recap here. We actually sent two guys, not us, but FanDuel sent two guys now, two more players to Vegas for the FanDuel Baseball Championship, going to be taking place at the end of July. And the reason they sent two is because, of course, we had the tie, five-way tie last week. Well, we didn't have a tie in this week's contest, but we did have the playoff of those five people. And, of course, I was obviously pulling for the Roto Grinders members. You know, I always want people from our community to do well because, you know, it's more fun, you know, to kind of have the people who you know, who you help out, be successful. And unfortunately, the three finalists who are grinders lost to the two newbies over there on FanDuel for that playoff as Beer Makers Fan, Burn Notice, Bone Steel. They finished third, fourth, and fifth. So the big winner of the playoff was some guy named Elephant. Talk about like the most random name ever. Just Elephant. Not like Johnny Elephant or Elephant Nose or Elephant 420 or something like that. No, it was just Elephant. You know, he could have gone with Raccoon or Deer or, I don't know, cat. He could have picked anything, but he picked an elephant. So maybe we'll talk to, he's not even Mr. Elephant, he's just Elephant. We'll try and get him on the podcast this week to give him his props, because let's face it, he basically had to beat 1,800 people and then beat a group which included one of the top-ranked players in all of daily fantasy in sports and Beer Makers Fan, and beat him. He had a total of 58 points, so that's not bad. He would have actually totally destroyed me if I was in the five-man. But then again, I think I did two team stacks that didn't quite work out that night. But nonetheless, congratulations, Elephant, whoever you are. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Also, the other Friday nighter, the one, you know, 15, 16, 1700 people in it, we did have a Grinders member actually make it. Shorty B12 had 79.25 points, and he ends up top in the field, and he will be out in Vegas going for $100,000. So excited. Hopefully we can bring him onto the show. He actually went with the Oakland Athletics team stack. And if you actually read our Daily Plays column that day, our writer for the day, Roto Kevin, actually said, you know what? If there's a team you might want to stack tonight, it's the Oakland A's. Now, I don't know that Shorty decided to do it based on that recommendation. But if he did, that's cool. If he didn't, still props to Roto Kevin for getting it right. Obviously, you had to have Josh Hamilton in there as well, as he had a couple of home runs. It just seems like his torrid pace is never going to end at the plate. But congratulations to those two going out to Vegas. We'll try and set some interviews up with them this week and kind of set the stage a little bit for that big event. Again, still over a month and a half away. Plenty of time for you to still get into the finals over there on FanDuel. The next thing, though, that I'm really excited to announce is a promotion we're doing in conjunction with Draft Street for RotoGrinders members. Again, this is kind of like one of those exclusive things, and it's a reason why so many more people, you know, there's so many benefits to joining our community. It doesn't cost anything. And what we're actually setting up, though, is on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we are going to send out a link for a tournament that's basically going to be a satellite tournament to get into the 109 qualifier over there on Draft Street. Of course, that's for their big Draft Street Baseball Championship, which has really been successful. They've filled all these qualifying tournaments, and the 109 usually fills pretty fast since there's only 60 spots. But what we're doing is it's going to be a four-pay tournament, so it's not a free roll, but it's only a $5 entry into it, up to three entries per person, and it's going to be a 165-player tournament. Now, we've got a $750 prize pool, but on top of that, we're actually putting five entries as satellites. So five people are going to be able to get tickets into the 109 qualifying event coming up this Friday. So in essence, we're providing you with a tournament with over $545 in overlay. So that's pretty impressive. If you don't know what overlay is, that basically means that we are paying out $545 more dollars than are actually in the prize pool to begin with. That's a term that you'll hear if you're kind of new to the industry quite a bit. And whenever you hear it, that's a good thing for the player. Not particularly good for the site, but good for the player. But this is kind of our way to work with Draft Street and try to get some of you Roto Grinders into that big tournament coming up. And again, if you're not even a high-stakes player, this is about as good as you can get trying to get into this 109 tournament. Just a $5 entry. And again, make sure you check that out. I think it's going to be coming out at 1 o'clock tomorrow is when that link is going to come. And make sure you do that because it is a limited field and we're only going to have three entries per person, so it could go pretty quick. So be on the lookout for that. We're actually probably going to talk to Cal tomorrow on the podcast about that and some of the other stuff that we got going on here at RotoGrinders. So definitely stay tuned. The other thing, if you were playing on Fantasy Feud, you might have gotten an email and that you made the Iron Man tournament. That is actually tonight. So check your email if you played over there for a while, and you might have qualified for that. So $1,000 free roll, I think, for the top 15 or 20 people, and pretty good chances you're going to walk away with some money in that. So definitely check your email. I got my entry into that, so $1,000 free roll, and it's tonight. So they actually enter you right into the tournament, so there's not a link you have to press. So you, even if you just want to go to Fantasy Feud, you might actually have a game ready for you to build your roster, and that, of course, is going to be the Iron Man game. So congratulations to those who did, and thanks again for taking part in that great promotion with Fantasy Feud as they kind of welcomed people, or welcomed themselves, I guess, into the daily fantasy industry, and so far so good with those guys. So that's the rundown of what we got going on in the industry. Now it's time for me to help you win, and the best way by doing that is for me to go through all these games. So let's kick it off right now.
One constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time.
Okay, very busy Monday. No day games. All this is happening at night. And before we get started, I do need to throw this little warning out to you. Looks like there's going to be some weather issues out and about tonight in Major League Baseball. So be sure to check our lineups page. Not only do we have like the color-coded warning system where if it's red, there's a chance of over, 60% chance of rain, but what we've done now is we've actually added percentages of rain for the hour before the start time and I believe the hour after. So you can actually see the rain percentages, so you can kind of help that yourself. And on top of that, a lot of people don't know, if you actually click that bar, if you actually click like the weather bar, it will take you to weather.com and you can actually see the radar and stuff for yourself. So there is a link in there, so feel free to hit that and that will take you to even get more information on the weather. But just be careful tonight. There are definitely some games that may not end up going. But let's take you through what we've got tonight. It is New York and Baltimore's the first game to discuss. Ivan Nova, 1-1 with a 4.73 ERA in his two starts against the Orioles this season. One guy who's absolutely owned him is Matt Wieter. So if you're looking for a catcher, four extra base hits among his 12-for-23 performance against the Yankees this year, and he's 5-for-6 with two homers against Nova, 7-for-14 in his career, so he's pretty much a must-play at catcher. Nick Markakis, 6-for-17 in a homer. Chris Davis, also 4-for-9 against Nova in his career. Jason Hamill, been really good this year, and I don't know why, because he hasn't really been good before then, but he has allowed one run in the past 15 innings of his last two home starts, and he's not pitched since he struck out 8 and gave up a homer back on May 5th. He had a start skipped because of a little, I think, questionable injury, but I guess he's back okay. One guy to consider tonight is A-Rod. 6-for-17, 4 home runs against Jason Hamill. Also, Derek Jeter and Raul Ibanez, each 5-for-16 with a homer against Hamill. Chicago Cubs take on St. Louis. It's Dempster against Westbrook. Who would think that Ryan Dempster would be limiting his opponents to a 164 average? He struck out 36 over 35 and a third innings, and he's got an ERA of 1.02, but he doesn't have a win. It's unbelievable. And the reason for it, basically an NL worst 2 runs per game in his start, so he's getting no runs of support. He's actually allowed 3 runs or fewer in all but one of his 9 road starts in this series against the St. Louis Cardinals. One guy who's been pretty good off him, though, is Skip Schumacher, 20-for-48 against Dempster. Yadier Molina batting .351, and Lance Berkman, 6 home runs versus Dempster in his career. As for Jake Westbrook, he's pretty much the complete opposite. He is getting 8 runs of support per start, and that's the highest in the National League. St. Louis, though, has lost 4 in a row at home, so they're kind of starting to slide a little bit. But Westbrook is a 1.93 ERA while winning his last 2 outings against the Cubs. So probably a low-scoring game in this one. San Diego, Washington, Stauffer versus Detweiler. Detweiler 3-2 with a 2.1 ERA on the season. And the Nationals are going to play their next 7 games at home where they are 12-4. Behind a 2.28 ERA from their starting rotation. And San Diego, they're one of the worst offensive teams in the majors, only batting .221, averaging 3 runs a game. So you got to think Detweiler is going to get it done probably again tonight. 2-0 with an ERA of about 1 in his 3 home starts. As for Tim Stauffer, he makes his debut this year after an elbow injury put him on the disabled list to start it off. Some numbers for Washington against him: Adam LaRoche, 6-for-12, 3 doubles, and also Ryan Zimmerman hasn't really done much since he's come off the DL. He's 2-for-4 with a homer, so maybe he can make something happen today in this matchup. Houston, Philadelphia, Anwar Rodriguez against Joe Blanton, and Hunter Pence is 2-for-23. That's 087 with a homer and a triple over his last 6 games, but he did go 4-for-11 with a homer and a double in a 3-game series towards the end of last season against the Astros. Of course, he spent his entire career with them before getting traded to Philadelphia mid-season last year. Joe Blanton threw a 3-hitter and a 4-0 win over Atlanta on May 3rd, and then he went on to walk a season-high 3, equaling his total from his first 6 starts combined, so he actually had a pretty good start there, but he's 1-0 with a 3.0 ERA in 4 appearances and 3 starts against Houston. Not a whole lot in the batter versus pitcher marks against him. Carlos Lee, 6-for-15, 3 doubles, but he's old, and you know what? I've seen him have good numbers against lots of pitchers, and I just don't think he's that good anymore. Lots of better options out there with Houston. Cincinnati and Atlanta, Homer Bailey versus Randall Delgado. Both these guys have ERAs over 4.5, so good chance we're going to see some runs put on the board in this one. Joey Votto has a .377 average, 4 homers and 20 RBIs in the wins, and only a .250 batting average with 1 home run and 4 RBIs in the losses for the Reds. So his success definitely means that Cincinnati's either going to win or lose a game. And he actually had a .389 average with 5 RBIs in the last 5 games against Atlanta, and everyone knows 3 home runs, just a last night in that game, including a walk-off, so Votto might be heating up for Cincinnati. Atlanta's won 9 of their last 11 on the road, and they now start a 4-game homestand. Left-handed batters, though, batting 328 off of Homer Bailey this season, so you might want to consider a guy like Freddie Freeman as a good possibility. Michael Bourne has 8 hits versus St. Louis in their past series, but he is 0-for-6 against Bailey in his career, but he has been really solid this season, so that 0-for-6 wouldn't worry me much if you want to go with Michael Bourne. Tampa Bay and Toronto, Jeff Niemann going against the red-hot Brandon Morrow. Morrow 4-1, 2.27 ERA on the season. And the Blue Jays have won 4 of 5 at home, scored 33 runs in those victories. Now, Morrow, he's looking to win a career-high 5th straight start. He's 4-0 with a 0.65 ERA in his last 4 starts, striking out 30 and only walking 5. So when he keeps that ball in the strike zone, he has always been tough. But he did get roughed up in his last start versus the Rays. It was a 12-2 loss this April. He had been 4-2 with a 2.25 ERA in his previous 6 starts against the Rays. So personally, I would not really put much stock in that start because it looked like kind of fluky. He was pretty good before and certainly is red hot right now. Sean Rodriguez, the one guy who's really hit the ball well against him, 4-for-11, 2 home runs. And Matt Joyce batting .294 with a home run. B.J. Upton is in one of his cold streaks right now, so don't start him. And, oh yeah, 10 strikeouts and 18 at-bats against Brandon Morrow. As for Jeff Niemann, he limited the Yankees to 1 run, 6 hits over 7, with 1 walk and 5 strikeouts on Wednesday. Overall, he's 4-4 with an ERA of over 5 in his 12 starts against the Blue Jays. Adam Lind has absolutely owned him. 13-for-28, that's .464 average, 3 homers against Niemann. You can also look Edwin Encarnacion, Yunel Escobar, Kelly Johnson, only a combined 3-for-32 against him. So he has done well against other guys not named Adam Lynn. Jose Bautista, 4 extra base hits in the 19 at-bats against Jeff Niemann. Moving on, Seattle and Boston. Boston, you know, they're just either really good or really bad. And right now they're looking really good. They've won 3 in a row. Things start to maybe turn a little bit. But John Lester, I don't think you can start him today. I know Seattle doesn't have a good offense, but he's 1-6 with an ERA of 5.55 in his last 11 starts, with his lone win in that stretch capping Boston's 6-game win streak last month. So it's been a while since Lester's really pitched well back-to-back games, so I think you avoid him here. Jason Vargas yielded 5 hits, no walks, and 8 innings of a 2-1 win over Detroit on Wednesday, so he's coming off a great start. Daniel Nava, 2-for-2 with 3 RBIs, was also hit by a couple of pitches and improving to 6-10 with 4 doubles and 4 walks since he was called up about a week ago. And Will Middlebrooks just hit his 4th homer in 10 big league games on Sunday, so a couple of youngsters getting stuff done there for the Red Sox. Milwaukee and New York, Giovanni Gallardo and Miguel Bautista. Gallardo has kind of had mixed results against the Mets over the course of his career. He's 2-2 with an ERA of 3.47, but this season, if he's not playing the Cardinals, he does pretty well. 2-1, 2.45 ERA against anyone not called St. Louis, who have absolutely just killed him this year. But the Mets are not the Cardinals, so one guy to watch out for, Lucas Duda, 3-for-6, 2 homers against Gallardo so far in his career. As for Miguel Bautista, he's 1-0 with a 2.14 ERA in 3 starts against Milwaukee, but that last start was in 2006. That was almost 6 years ago, so we'll pretty much ignore that statistic there. Not really a big fan of Bautista's. There are no batter versus pitcher stats that would scare me necessarily or even encourage me to take guys against him, but he's just been around forever, and I don't think I'd expect a whole lot of upside from Miguel Bautista in this one. If there's one guy I'm going with, it's Gallardo over Bautista, that's for sure. Pittsburgh and Miami. Brad Lincoln goes against Anibal Sanchez. And with 8 straight wins over Pittsburgh, Miami is seeking an 11th victory out of their last 13 games as they have finally kind of hit their stride. And Sanchez, he's been really good. He's gone 7 innings in each of his last 4 starts, which and he's 2-1 with a 1.64 ERA in 3 starts against Pittsburgh. His last start was a 1-hitter, 11 Ks in his last go-around against Pittsburgh. Sanchez also has a career 2.53 ERA in the month of May. That's the lowest of any month for him. So lots of reasons to give him a look today. You know, it always bodes well when the best batter versus pitcher stats against you come from Rod Barajas. 3-for-7, 2 doubles, and a homer. As for Brad Lincoln, pretty good ERA this year. 2.63 ERA, but that's mostly come in relief. As a starter, has not had a lot of luck yet. 3-7, 5.54 ERA, and 17 career starts. Mike Stanton went 7-for-13 in this past series. He's batting .351 while hitting safely in 14 of his last 15 games. So Giancarlo is back hot once again. Florida shortstop Jose Reyes also hitting .340 over his last 13 games. And he's even been better against Pittsburgh, batting .411 with 15 multi-hit games in the last 22 games against the Pirates. So I definitely would consider both of those guys for my lineups today. Kansas City and Texas, Bruce Chen against Scott Feldman. And got to start talking about Josh Hamilton. 402 average, 18 homers, 44 ribbies this year. He's in the middle of a 13-game hit streak, but he's been good all year long. He's actually has a hit in 29 of his 32 games this season. He's expensive, but boy, has he been paying himself off. This is an interesting situation, though, because if there's one team he doesn't do well against, it's probably Kansas City. Only batting .221 with 3 homers and 18 RBIs in 24 career games, and only .182 in those matchups in the Rangers' ballpark. Guys who've been red-hot recently is Nelson Cruz, Elvis Andrews, each with 4 hits on Sunday. And Cruz is 14-for-28, 7 RBIs in his last 7 games. So he got off to a slow start. It was only a matter of time before he picked it up, and he is doing that right now. Elvis Andrews has a .436 average with 8 RBIs and 12 runs over the past 13 games. So he has really stepped it up with the bat. They go against Bruce Chen. 1-2, an ERA over 10 in 8 games, 4 of those starts against the Rangers. So if you want to load up your team with Rangers, tonight's not a bad night to do it. Michael Young batting .404 off of left-handed pitching and 5-for-13 off of Chen. Adrian Beltre 7-for-24, 2 home runs off of Chen. Kinsler is 3-for-4. Scott Feldman only 2-1 with a 3.51 ERA in his 4 starts against the Royals. The only guys who've done pretty good against him, Alex Gordon, Mitch Meyer, 4-for-6 and 4-for-5 in their career. Next game to discuss is Cleveland and Minnesota. It's Gomez against Pavano. Gene Marr got lit up in his last game where he gave up a career-high 8 runs over 6 2/3 innings and an 8-1 loss to the White Sox, but he is 1-1 with an ERA with a 5.5 in his 3 starts against the Twins, so probably not the best route to go him tonight, even against a weak hitting Minnesota team. And the Twins, well, they're hoping Pavano can help them improve upon their league-worst 6.31 ERA. And he is 2-3 with a 3.08 ERA against the Tribe since they traded him away out of Cleveland. Righties are hitting .341 against Pavano, so there's a handful of them you can look at today. Estrubel Cabrera, only 1-for-26 against Pavano. He actually went 0-for-9 with 3 walks during Cleveland's 3 games out there in Boston, so he's somebody you absolutely want to avoid in a slump and terrible numbers against Pavano. Johnny Damon batting .346. Shin-Soo Chu, he is .368 against Pavano with a home run. Detroit and Chicago, Drew Smyly against John Danks. Who would have thought Drew Smyly would have the best ERA in the American League? 1.59, I should say, so far this season. Not allowed more than 2 runs in any of his first 6 games. And the White Sox, they're only batting .199. That's the worst in baseball against lefties. So Smyly is definitely in play as a starter tonight. Prince Fielder, he's happy to leave Oakland. He is in an 0-for-22 slump since he homered in the 7th inning of Tuesday's game. Could not get a single hit in Oakland, but he does have at least 1 hit in 7 straight games against Chicago. Miguel Cabrera, he's 9-for-18 over the 4 games in Oakland. Andy Dierks also extended his hit streak to 8 games and is like 15 for his last 30. He is red hot. As for Danks, he's allowed at least 7 runs in each of his last 2 outings at U.S. Cellular Field. That would kind of make me nervous. And there are lots of good numbers. So if you wanted to go like a Detroit team stack tonight, not a terrible idea. Delmon Young, .341. Austin Jackson, 9-for-23, 2 home runs. Even Ryan Rayburn with a couple of home runs off of Danks. So I don't think that's a very bad option. I'm not thinking he's going to have a great game today. Oakland and L.A., it's Tyson Ross against Danny Heron. Heron gave up 5 runs over 3 2/3 innings, his shortest start in nearly 7 years in a 5-0 loss to Minnesota his last go-around. But he's going against a pretty banged-up Oakland lineup today. Yiannis Cespedes placed on the disabled list this weekend. Kia Kaiue, Kurt Suzuki, Jamal Weeks, Brandon Inge, they all missed the last game. Looks like Suzuki, Weeks, and Inge may return, but nonetheless, not an impressive murderer's row of a lineup anyway. They're actually 1-for-23 in his last... Brandon Inge is 1-for-23 in his last 7 against the Angels and 3-for-14 all-time against Heron. Kurt Suzuki, 7-for-16, so if he's in the lineup, not a terrible option. As for Tyson Ross, was decent his last start, but he did give up 16 runs over 7 1/3 innings in his couple of starts before that, so I'm not sold on Tyson Ross. Torrey Hunter, big slump for him, 2-for-30, but is 4-for-9 against him in his career. Kendrys Morales, 3-for-6 with a homer. Howie Kendrick, maybe avoid him tonight, 0-for-9 against Tyson Ross. Last couple of games to discuss, Arizona and L.A., Ian Kennedy, Clayton Kershaw. Looks like Matt Kemp is going to likely miss this one. The Diamondbacks, they've actually dropped 9 out of their last 11 and are 1-4 in their last 5 road games, so they really got to get things going. Kennedy had a great season last year, was 3-0 with a 3.46 ERA in his 4 starts against Los Angeles a year ago. But he's 1-1 all-time with an ERA over 6 in his 3 outings at Dodger Stadium. James Loney, 4-for-11, 3 doubles and a homer against Kennedy in his career, so nothing but extra base hits for him. As for Kershaw, if you can afford him, use him. 3-0, 1.04 ERA in his last 3 home starts against Arizona, and overall, he's 6-1 with a 1.42 ERA in his last 7 against the D-backs. Justin Upton can't hit him worth a lick. 0-for-18, 7 strikeouts. The current Diamondbacks hitting 136. 35 strikeouts in 110 at-bats. That's terrible. So Clayton Kershaw looking like a good play tonight. Last game to talk about is Colorado at San Francisco. Christian Friedrich against Ryan Vogelsong. Colorado compiled an ERA over 6 during their 1-8 slide, and it's their only victory actually came Wednesday behind a great effort from who else? Christian Friedrich, yeah, the 24-year-old left-hander, gave up 1 run, 5 hits, struck out 7 over 6 innings in a 6-2 win at San Diego. You got to watch out, though, for Melky Cabrera if you're going to look to San Francisco Giants hitters. He's hitting .468 during an 11-game hit streak. Cabrera also collected 12 hits and 22 at-bats. That's .554 or .545 average, including a pair of homers in his last 5 games against the Rockies. So he's a good option there. As for Ryan Vogelsong, compiled an ERA around 1 in winning each of his 4 starts against the Rockies last season and was 3-0 with a .42 ERA at home. So he dominated them. Troy Tulowitzki, Carlos Gonzalez, a combined 0-for-14 against Vogelsong. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I don't think he can play either of those two guys until they get a hit. Michael Kadire, the only Rocky with really much success at all against him. He's 3-for-4 in his career. So there's the rundown of all the games today, giving you some analysis. Make sure you check our Daily Plays column each and every day here, giving you some great advice when putting your teams together. All that information right here on RotoGrinders. Best of luck in your matchups again tonight. I want to take a moment and say thank you to my friends over there at Daily Joust. That site continues to grow leaps and bounds. Finally got my dad over there playing a little bit, which is great. You know, I used to talk to my dad once a week. Now it's like I talk to him every day because he's asking me for lineup advice and stuff. So, you know, nothing like daily fantasy sports bringing the family together. But he's enjoying himself out there at Joust. So if you see Bockers67, he's a noob, so he's probably pretty easy to take his money. So, but we appreciate them for sponsoring this podcast. If you haven't gone over there and checked out their site, lots of stuff. Remember, Super Joust seats are up and available to be won pretty much nightly. So it says right there on the top of the tournament whether or not there is a Super Joust seat attached. So be sure to take a look out for that. They got the King Richard tournaments. Those are really fun. 32 spots in those, $20 entry, and that's a 50-50 multi-day tournament that does have a Super Joust seat associated with it. And remember, you can customize your league however you like. If you wanted to do a 50-50 league with $5 low cap, you could do it and you can set it up just the way you like. So the customization, I think, is one of the neatest things you find over there. Daily Joust really sets them apart from the competition. So please give them a try to earn your daily fantasy business. Great sponsor of the podcast. They are dailyjoust.com. And with that, folks, I'm going to say goodbye to you for today. We're going to be joined by the boss man, Cal Spears. He is the founder of Roto Grinder, so we'll talk to him more about this Draft Street promotion and some of the other stuff we have going on here at Grinder. So he'll come on the podcast tomorrow. Please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders, giving you some lineup advice, injury news, and any other pertinent daily fantasy information. You can go find this podcast over there on iTunes, and please subscribe to it there. And join us again tomorrow. It's been the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. Have yourself a great night, and talk to you tomorrow. See you, folks. My name.